What's up, Bulldogs? Welcome to episode one of the Dog Pod. On this week's podcast, we have a series of segments, including an interview with Mr. Noonan, is artificial intelligence in school bad, followed by gas versus electric cars, then preceding the hot takes, and finally, sport announcements for the week. All right, guys, for this week's hot take, we have arguments for the NCAA tournament versus the NBA finals.
I think the NCAA tournament is the best. March Madness is the greatest. It's my birth month, which makes it all that much better. The tournament format is so much better than the NBA playoffs. You have 68 teams, single elimination. Win or go home, one bad game and you're out.
Yeah.
NBA playoffs, I mean, it's less teams. Best of seven series, who wants that?
Yeah, those games can take a long time.
You can lose three times and still win.
Again, back on that March Madness, I'd say everyone likes that March Madness because they like the underdog story.
Oh, absolutely. Cinderella's.
Yeah, like a 15 seed upsetting a 2 seed or something like that.
Like a 16 seed beating Purdue or something like that.
That has happened.
That has happened. I have a question for Joey. Is it more exciting when a team only has one chance to win?
Definitely is because, you know, one game, the team could not have their best player, but then and they would lose. But then the next game, he could be back, and then, you know, they'd be right back, and they'd just win everything else from there.
I agree. You know, you get unexpected wins in March Madness. You get buzzer beaters, emotional underdog runs, St. Peter's, Fairleigh Dickinson. Riley, do you enjoy surprises in sports, or do you always prefer seeing the best team win?
Yeah, Steven, I like to see the underdog win. You know, I like to see my team win. I don't want to see the best team win every time because, you know, it becomes predictable. And I want to see those out of the ordinary things, those crazy stories that you'll be able to tell years on.
Absolutely. I really like how fast-paced March Madness is, too. I mean, you get 67 games in 3 weeks, multiple games per day. There's almost never a day with no games on.
Riley, I have a question for you. Who do you think has more pressure, a college senior competing for his only shot at a title or an NBA player playing his final game with his legacy on the line?
I would say, honestly, probably the NBA player. You know, a lot of people remember college players, you know, but it's mainly the professionals in the NBA that many people remember. And, you know, they always talk about Jordan or LeBron. So
shout out to Jennifer Fredette.
I'd say the legacy on the line for an NBA player was definitely more stressful for an NBA player than, you know, a college player in his senior year.
Yeah, absolutely. But on the flip side, you know, NBA players, you can say that the talent is much better, so the product that they're putting out is better. They're the best players on the planet, you know, Wembanyama, LeBron, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they're all elite. College players, they could still be learning, but they're really good. Riley, prefer watching pros who really mess up or young players giving it their all?
I like to see the young players giving it their all. It really shows how much they really want to get to that next level. And, you know, pros, you know, not giving it their all and just, you know, playing the sport, it kind of gets boring after a while. You know, present-day basketball, not all NBA players are really playing defense, and I think they're losing a lot of fans just because, you know, the sport of basketball is just not as entertaining as it used to be. That's why I'm more towards the March Madness tournament because everyone's trying to get to the next level in that tournament. For our next segment, we have, is AI bad or can it be used for the greater good? Steven, what's your opinion on that?
My opinion is I use AI all the time, whether it's for, you know, homework help, not to do my answers if any teachers are listening, but just, you know, explaining concepts, or like in this case, I had a little car trouble recently, so I used it to help see what's wrong. Haven't got it fixed yet, but I know what might be wrong with my car.
What about you, Joey? How do you use AI?
I basically use it the same way Steven does. Like, I don't always use it to get answers. I use it to help explain concepts.
So you sometimes use it to get answers.
I didn't say that, but yes.
You implied it.
But yes, you know, everyday use, even, you know, stuff school doesn't teach you yet, how to find answers and work around problems you have.
Oh, yeah, totally. You can definitely use it to, you know, help you out with anything, you know, not just school. You can use it for, you know, what Steven said, car problems, or you can use it for those simple things that you just have never learned about. You know, maybe, I don't know, how to fish properly or something, you know.
Yeah. What fish lures to use in certain weather types, you know.
Yeah, like it can be used for sorts of things. But in school specifically, I personally, I use it for as a tool. I like to use it to help explain things more in depth if I'm, you know, struggling with a concept I can't get my head around. I like to use it then and help it re-explain it to me so I have a better understanding. I don't like to use it to do my work because obviously that's cheating and we don't cheat here at St. T.
No, we don't.
But I do like to use it as a tool in school, and I use it outside of school as well.
Yeah, I think I would definitely be using an AI for some calculus help because I need help. Calculus. What the heck is big? I don't know.
Okay. I got a question for both of you, and I kind of want to get both your guys' inputs. Would you say that, you know, people who use it for school and, you know, use it to do the work, they can over-rely on it, and do you think it'll, like, affect their future?
100%. Like, you get kids who, when they go home, they get their math homework, and then they just take a picture of it, and they don't know how to actually do it, so then when they get home onto the test, they're just failing all the tests. And
Joey, it seems like you know the steps on how to do it.
I don't use it as much as some people.
Are we sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay.
Okay.
I believe it.
I think that that can definitely happen. I think in the future, maybe we might get too reliant on AI and our kids might not be that smart. I mean, yeah.
It definitely affects the future generations for sure, because even when I go on AI for, you know, simple questions like, I don't know, how to properly air up my tires in my car or something, right? Sometimes it will literally tell me that too many people are using that AI, so it's going to take a while because so many people are using it at once. And
yeah,
it's so popular right now. And I think, you know, in the future, kids are, you know, even adults in the future, they're just not going to know what to do because AI is not always going to be there.
Yeah, and that could definitely be a problem in the future. But right now, I think we just learn to use it smartly and efficiently, then I believe that AI can help us with really anything, because it's basically the internet on steroids, if you really think about it. I think it can help us.
Joey, would you say AI could, you know, affect the workforce?
It definitely could, because you'll have some jobs that implement it more. Graphic design, I know you're in there. Mr. Yep. Smith already talked about how Photoshop and all that implements AI nowadays. So
yeah, it does.
There are definitely some jobs that it will help with.
And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, harder jobs for humans to do, you know, those heavy lifting ones specifically, where you can get almost programs for AI to, you know, control machinery to do it for you, and that's taking away those labor jobs from people. You know, it might make it more safer, you know, less people might actually die per year because, you know, people aren't doing those hard jobs.
For this next segment, we have an interview with Mr. Noonan. How are we doing today, Mr. Noonan?
Doing great. Never better day in my life.
Nice. Good, good.
So we got some questions for you today. Our first question is, are we going to be getting a conference anytime soon?
Well, that's a popular question that I've received in the last 2 months, and it's one of those things that we're working on. We have been invited to a conference, but it'd be two-hour travel for every single game. So most of those schools are in the St. Louis area, so we're going to hold off on that and then hopefully get something that's a little bit more local. But as schools are dropping sports, adding sports, hopefully we can find a home here soon. But I have put some effort into that over the summer.
Yeah, really appreciate that. I know in football when we had to go to St. Louis, it was pretty long travel. The trips were fun, but I feel like doing that every week would be pretty stressful.
Yeah, one of those things is we need to make sure that we have a good fan base. And while the alumni in St. Louis were really excited to see us in St. Louis, we lost a lot of that Macon County support. And then, you know, we just don't have those natural rivalries with our schedule right now. So hopefully we're building those back in. Travel this year, with the exception of really one game, is going to be pretty manageable on the football realm. And then other sports, we're getting pretty local again as well. But it's just taking some time to get those schedules where we want them.
So our next question is, what do you miss about being in the classroom or coaching basketball?
Well, I'm having a lot of withdrawals with basketball. That I miss watching film. And then this past week at Millikan, our guys moved on campus, and a lot of them have sent me messages of like, hey, when are you going to be at open gym? When are you going to come out? Hey, we're in the weight room today. Where are you at? So just the relationship with our players and then studying film and trying to figure stuff out. But I'm still, I mean, I had three phone calls yesterday with the staff there, so I'm still very much connected with what's going on there. And then in the classroom, just knowing where I'm supposed to be. So as assistant principal, you don't have a schedule. The day kind of creates your schedule. And I've told a lot of people this job has legs, where you think you're going to get something done, and then all of a sudden your tasks grow and grow and grow. So keeping that organized has been a challenge, where for the last 17 years I was just told, all right, you have a class first hour, second hour, third hour, that's where you're going to be. So I miss a little bit of that routine and then just kind of building on yesterday's lessons.
What drew you to accept this job?
Opportunity for my family. You know, anytime that you step into something, you want to challenge yourself. And this is something that I've not done. So it's a new opportunity for growth and challenge. I've been interested in being an athletic director for probably 12 years or so. I think it's something that I could be good at. But there's a lot more to it than I knew. So that's one thing that drew me, is just the opportunity for a challenge. And then opportunity for my family. With Millikan, I was out of town a lot, really working two full-time jobs here and then full-time at Millikan to an extent, and then a lot of on-the-road recruiting. So I'd be in the St. Louis area or Peoria area till 10 o'clock. I've got a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old. Well, he's 8 now. 5-year-old and an 8-year-old. So being in Macon County a little bit more. It'll be long days, but at least I'll have a better travel schedule.
So you mentioned that you missed the schedule that you had, you know, knowing where you're supposed to be and stuff. But is there anything you like more about your new job than teaching?
I do like that I get to serve a different group. So my entire career, I've had a team. And, well, this is still having a team, but it's just the teachers. So the teachers are my new team. And then with the students, rather than having 16 to 25 kids in a class, well, now we've got 200. So I do like, you know, I didn't see a lot of juniors with my academic schedule. I had a lot of seniors and a lot of freshmen and some sophomores that got added in last year. But being able to serve all of the students, I do like that. And then I like just the idea of, all right, I've got a new team. How does this work?
Absolutely. How do you feel about the Braves this season?
Well, I'm hoping that over the next month or whatever they have left, that they can stay healthy and maybe call up some guys, get some experience. But they need some help. They need some help. But I'll still watch playoff baseball. We'll see.
Yeah, their record not too hot right now.
Not too hot, but they're doing good today.
Yeah.
So I believe. I mean, I don't know when this will be published, but they're playing the mighty Marlins right now.
Yeah.
They're up 11-1, which you shouldn't look at scores during school.
Thank God the Cubs are doing better now. They're getting out of their slump a little bit, getting the offense back.
Cubs Braves Labor Day.
Hey.
I will either be at the JV football game at 11 a.m. against Benton on Labor Day, or I'll be at Wrigley Field.
I know
both a winner, right?
Yeah,
can't go wrong there.
I know. I think the JV will win that game. I know me and Joey are going to be at that game.
Yeah.
That's Mr. Noonan, everybody. We thank you for coming, and see you later.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
For the sports announcements for the upcoming week, we have soccer at Argenna, as well as golf against Maroa and Clinton, followed by volleyball at Bloomington Central Catholic High School. The volleyball team also has a game at Arthur Lovington on Thursday, and the second football game is Friday at Illini West. Hey, Bulldogs, that'll wrap up our first episode of the Dog Pod. We want to thank Mr. Noonan, and we'll see you guys next time.